Here at the Empowerment Zone, we are all about all types of empowerment, and financial empowerment is one of our important pillars. And so today I'm so excited that we're talking about finance, real estate, and mindset. And as all of you know, you have to have a good mindset in order to make sure that you do what is necessary in order to live a financially prosperous life.
Welcome to the Empowerment Zone with Ramona Houston, where we zone in on Black and Brown relations and our journey to empowering our communities.
Today we have Dominique Vitalis as our guest today, and she is a New Jersey resident, and she's a former Division I athlete at Georgetown University. She is a certified financial advisor by day and a real estate investor by night. So we can't wait to hear all of her important lessons and strategies and guidance and advice to tell us how we can become financially empowered. Welcome, Dominique. How are you today?
I am great. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm excited about having you. Before we get started on this discussion about financial empowerment, why don't you tell our audience a little bit about yourself, your background? I see you are a former Division I athlete at Georgetown. Georgetown was my team back in the 80s. I don't know if you know that. I think I shared that with you personally.
Yes, you did.
Yes, I love Georgetown back with March Madness back in the, I guess that had to be 85, 86, 87, somewhere around in there when I used to watch college basketball. And so I'm excited to hear about you being a Georgetown athlete. But anyway, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes. So I did play basketball at Georgetown. I did my major was marketing, and I had a minor in sociology. And then after I graduated, I decided to pursue my master's also at Georgetown. So I'm a double Hoya. And I pursued that in public relations and corporate communications. And I came across finance really because I was just looking for a job. I was in grad school at night, and I was just looking for a 9-to-5 that's going to take me through, pay the bills, and came across my firm. And what I realized in like the first few months there is that I was learning so much that I realized was not taught in schools. And it wasn't really talked about among family and friends. And I found myself just learning and wanting to tell like my mom and friends, like, do you even know what y'all supposed to be doing with this retirement account? You know what's in it? Because this is what they're saying. So we got to figure this out. And I kind of just started there. And I found myself graduating from my master's program and telling my teachers, you know, this was great, but I'm actually going to be in finance, nothing to do with what I learned. But so that kind of started my journey in finance, and, you know, I've loved it ever since. And what I do in my way of giving back is I teach financial literacy, not in any official capacity, but I teach it to my clients and I teach it to kids. I think it should be introduced to schools at a younger age. So that when they're in a position, when these children grow up and they're in a position where they have jobs and need to know how to manage money, they're not intimidated as I was. So I do that. And I have some tips that I do want to talk to you about. I want to include mindset in there as well, because a lot of things that we kind of associate negatively with finance or some aspects of finance, I want to kind of challenge your perspective on that and open it up. So We'll get into that a little later, but that's pretty much the background on me.
Well, it's so interesting to see how different ways people enter their professions. Right. And you entered yours through graduate school, learning about one aspect of finance, and then went into being a financial advisor. To your point about financial literacy, it is so important that we all learn about money and the way money works. You know, I was extremely disturbed when I finished my 12 years of college and got a PhD. And then when it was time for me to buy a home, I didn't know anything about purchasing a home, a mortgage, you know, what the process is in terms of, you know, the annual percentage rate, all these things I didn't know. And I was like, how can I go through 24 years of school and not have much financial literacy education?
Right, right. I had the same kind of epiphany, and it's really crazy. So, you know, for me, and real estate for me is something I think is truly, truly important. That's like my side baby, because I actually bought my first house last year in March, like right at the start of the pandemic. And I bought a multifamily home because I knew in my head I wanted to live for free. That was the goal. So I wanted to have I have two floors and I live on the top floor and my tenants pay my rent. And like you, I had to figure it all out. I just knew what I wanted, but I didn't really know the steps of how to get there. So breaking that all down. But I think, you know, as far as like the knowledge, I think we just need to seek the knowledge. I think that, I mean, that's really has been the lesson learned for me. Cause you know, you don't know what you don't know, but for me, seeking the knowledge, being in a place where, okay, all this information is coming to me. I'm at this firm. We're talking about money all day, every day. Okay, they said something about, okay, a Roth IRA versus an IRA. Okay, what does that do? What's the difference? Why should we care? All right, let me go research that. And then not only do I do that, but I go and tell people and spread the knowledge and in my own kind of circle and networks that I think we should just do more of. I don't think a lot of people do that. But yeah, I think a part of that is really just seeking the knowledge and being intentional about seeking the knowledge.
Yeah, I agree with you. Seek the knowledge and then share the knowledge. That's a great perspective to have. I know, you know, even being a college professor and, you know, signing up for, you know, the retirement account and all of that, I didn't know what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And I just happened to go to, I was invited to a seminar. It was an all day workshop, one day conference that was hosted by the women in the NAACP in Atlanta. Mm. And the sponsor of the event was Wachovia Bank. And I learned so much about buying a home, about retirement accounts, you know, the differences, like you said, the differences in the IRA and all these things. And so it really put me on a journey of becoming more financially literate. But to your point, you don't know what you don't know. You have to be first exposed to it and then do research and take the reins of control of your own financial empowerment and go out and seek the knowledge and apply it. And so I attribute my success in purchasing a home and in establishing my retirement account to Wachovia and its partnership, its community partnership with the NAACP, women in the NAACP, excuse me, in Atlanta. So you talk about sharing the knowledge. So why don't you share some of that knowledge with us? Can you give us like some stages? Like if you're a beginner, this is what you do in terms of financial empowerment. If you're at the intermediate level, this is what you need to do. And if you're more advanced, what you need to do, or maybe you don't necessarily need to break it off into levels. Just tell us some steps on what we need to do in order to make sure that we are financially empowered as individuals and as families.
Absolutely. So yeah, I do have some points. One, credit is extremely important. This is something that I really try to, communicate to kids, just because you can start building credit at such a young age, but I didn't realize how important that was until I needed it. You know, that credit opens so many doors and can close them all at the same time if you don't use it wisely. So I always encourage people, focus on your credit. That's important. Try to aim for 675 is an average credit score. So I always say try to aim for 720. And 750 is like considered excellent. So credit is something that is extremely important that you should really, really focus on. Also debt. You know, I did like a small casual survey of a group of people who, and I just was trying to figure out their association with debt. Was it negative? Was it positive? And I mean, full 100% of people said debt is bad. It's negative. But then I want to challenge people to think about debt in a good way, because debt is also the way that we can help build our credit, right? I bought a house, we own houses. Okay, that's some form of debt. We have a mortgage that we have to pay. But again, paying that consistently every month for the next 10 to 15 years, that is good. That's, people want to see that. Banks want to see that. Also, if you have to take out a loan to start a business, to go to school, again, this is good debt. This is debt that should be associated with good, because you're investing in yourself, right? You're buying my house, one of the best things I did for me. And I'm excited about it. I actually just bought another one because this is the plan. I'm happy about that. That there's more debt, but it's more opportunities for me in the long term as well. So challenge yourself to think about debt in a brighter perspective, because it can help you reach some of your goals. Retirement. Now I know some of the young people out there are like, why is that relevant to me? They gave me a 401k, they didn't really tell me anything about it. Like, what's happening here? What is this? Focus on retirement. If you are someone who works with an employer, make sure you know what's in your 401k. Just check it on average. What's it doing? Has it gone up with the markets? Has it gone down? What's happening there? You can ask questions around your 401k, and you can also contact resources. Like if you know a financial advisor like myself, we can go over that as well and make sure you're investing in the right thing. So use your resources. If you are someone who is a business or owns a business and you don't have a 401k with an employer, make sure you have an IRA. Make sure you have a Roth IRA. You can have both. The only difference between a Roth IRA and an IRA is that when you invest in a Roth, that money that you put in is already taxed, so that when you take out money from your Roth IRA, it's tax-free. You don't have to worry about anything. Whereas with an IRA, that money grows tax deferred, so that when you take out that money in the next 15, 20 years or whenever you're ready to take it out, you will be taxed on it. And that's something called a required minimum distribution. And that's really just when the IRS is like, all right, you had this money growing in this account, tax deferred, for this amount of time. Now we want our share of the pie. So you need to take that money out with these required minimum distributions so we can get paid as well. So that's the difference between that. So focus on retirement. Make sure you have all your ducks in a line, because that's gonna be important, and you'll thank your future self when it comes that time to retire. Investing, having diversifying your investments are so important. I tell my little sister all the time, she has like Apple everything, Apple Watch, Apple phone. If Apple made clothes, she would go buy it. And I'm just like, sis, like you need to buy some stock. You need to buy things that actually will appreciate in value. So when you turn 20 or 25, you'll have Apple will be paying you instead of you, the vice versa, right? So own some stocks. If it's companies, own some companies that you like. On some companies that you see are doing well and you want a piece of that, absolutely invest. I think investing is extremely important, especially in your retirement accounts, because you have tax advantages. Also diversifying into real estate. I like to invest in real estate. If you are someone who feels like you want to invest in real estate, but you don't necessarily have like funds to buy a whole house right now, there are different options. Again, seek the knowledge. There's options called REITs. They are real estate tools. REITs stand for Real Estate Investment Trust. So they're just a different kind of investment tools that you can use to invest in real estate if you don't necessarily want to go and purchase whole properties at this time. But having a diversification in your investing is important. What else? I talked about credit. I talked about retirement. I talked about investing and debt. Those are like the key things. I mean, I wouldn't say in finance, the way we do business, everything is so customized to like different families. So I'm trying to think of the stages. Like, let's see. So if you're someone who is in their 20s and you just started the work, you kind of just started working in this new environment and you know, you want to think about what to do with your finances, I would say, focus on credit, but that's throughout all the stages. I would say focus on what's in your, especially if you're with an employer, focus on what's in your 401k. You can also have a Roth IRA. I would recommend opening that up as well, because another benefit of the Roth is that if you, it's really for people who are, I like to say, if you know that you'll be making more money in the future, you should have a Roth, because it's to your benefit if you're at a lower income tax bracket. So open up a Roth so that, because you won't be taxed on the money, like when you take it out in 10, 15 years, when you're like the president and CEO and all that good stuff, right? So that's another benefit of, or something to think about if you're in that kind of stage. 30s, I mean, I would, if this is more so planning, like you want to start having a family, you want to put some money aside to get married. It's just being organized in that. If you have, I would seek to resources like, again, financial advisors, even just to ask questions, tax, your CPAs, your tax people, ask them questions. If you're a business owner, ask them, what else can I be writing off? Like, the government is taking up too much of my money. I work too hard. What else am I missing? What else can I write off? Make sure all that is organized and ask them questions to be able to maximize that, maximize your income. I mean, do you have any questions for me as I just like rattle off some
things? I love these suggestions. You talked about building credit, minimizing your debt, but having good debt. You talked about retirement in terms of working it out with your employer, or retirement if you are an entrepreneur and business owner. And you talked about investing, the importance of diversifying your portfolio, and also consider diversifying into real estate. I never heard that piece of advice is in terms of diversifying in real estate. And the other option that you talked about within that, if you don't necessarily want to purchase a building or something like that, or apartment complex or what have you, you can still use other tools in terms of investing in real estate. These are really great pieces of advice. And, you know, a lot of times we don't, like you said, we don't know what we don't know. And the earlier we begin in terms of making good financial decisions, and as you stated, creating a financial plan, the better it is. And so what would you recommend for people who, no matter how old they are in starting, where would you recommend they go in order to learn more about financial literacy? Is there any particular book or tool on the internet that you would, because I know there is a lot of information out there, and sometimes people just need something specific. Do you have a tool or a book or some articles or something you would recommend to our audience?
Well, I would say come talk to me.
Okay, I heard that. That's it.
There's so many aspects. It depends on, you know, what part of financial literacy you're trying to explore, you know what I mean? But there are a lot of resources, probably too many resources out there. So if you want to learn more about, you know, types of retirement accounts, I mean, look, I'm still one to always like Google stuff. There's a lot of, again, a lot of information out there. I'm trying to think of a specific book, or I don't have one at this time. I really would say just come talk to me. Or if you know a financial advisor that you trust, have a conversation with them. Maybe there's something that they can do or talk to you about that you didn't necessarily know about. But I always welcome a conversation.
So let's start there. So if you are interested in learning more in terms of about financial literacy, as well as developing a financial plan for your life and for your family, contact Dominique. She says she's here and ready and willing to assist you on your financial journey. And if she's not your person of choice, look for a financial advisor in your town or area to help you to get on that path. But the most important thing is to get started. Don't delay. Dominique, how do you pronounce your last name? Did I say it right in the beginning?
I think so.
Okay. Excuse me?
Vitalis.
Vitalis. Mm-hmm. I did not say Vitalis. Dominique Vitalis is mm-hmm. who you're going to look for. And we'll make sure that we post her information on the website but look her up and talk to her. She's based out of New Jersey and she is here to help. She also stated that she does a lot of financial literacy programming for youth and young adults. And so if you lead an organization and you want somebody to speak to your young people, call her up for that too. You know, now since COVID, we've gone virtual and all, and events are not just, you don't just have to be in person. She could be a resource for you in terms of a virtual event. You know, our young people need to be exposed as early as possible to financial literacy. Now, I'm putting myself out on a limb, but I would make the argument that there is a reason why financial literacy is not taught in the schools, and that is to keep people in debt and ignorant. And so, and it may be purposefully done. And so therefore you have to counteract that by taking control of your own financial success and wellness. One of my earliest memories growing up is my mother insisting, she used to give me and my sister $2 a month was our our allowance. And I thought I was big time. I think I might've been 4 or 5. And I remember that $2 a month, but she would have us to go to the local credit union and we'd have to save a dollar. Wow. And I can still see that in my mind as walking in and putting the dollar on the counter and saying we wanted to make a deposit on our savings account. And the women were so over on the other side of the counter. They were so happy and just so excited and full. And I was like, why are they looking like that? Just because I'm, you know, saving my money. I couldn't understand it. But what they felt was, wow, she's teaching them this at 3 and 4 years old or 4 and 5, whatever age we were. But I just remember I could feel the feeling of the women on the other side of the counter about how excited and how impressed they were that we were coming in and putting our dollar into into the credit union. So it's never too early to start to teach teach your children, your family members about financial literacy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And another thing that I was thinking about when you were saying that, generational wealth is something that I just have to mention because it's so important. I feel like as a people, we don't focus on it. We don't think about it, but we need to do more of it. We need to live life in a way that, you know, makes it easier for the next generation, whether that's through knowledge, whether that's through, you know, a business you can pass down, a property you can pass down. Like we got to keep it in our family. We got to keep us going stronger and continue to build on, you know, what we've done in our lifetime to continue this generational wealth, because we got to keep it going.
Agreed. So we've got to build and build so that the next generation can also prosper. We need to make sure that it's not just, it just doesn't stop with us in our generation, and that we're creating intergenerational wealth, as Dominique has stated. So Dominique, if anybody would like to get in contact with you, could you provide your contact information or your website? How would they find you?
Yes, you can email me. Do I just say my email?
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. You can email me at dvcertifywealth@gmail.com.
D as in Dominique, V as in Victor.
Yep.
And certify repeat it.
Mm-hmm. Let me repeat it. So dvcertifywealth@gmail.com.
Great, great. So you have a way to contact her, Dominique, and hook up with her and get on the road to financial empowerment. If you're already on the road, call her and she can help you to in your more advanced stages in building wealth for yourself, your family, and your community. So we're so excited, Dominique, that you joined us today. You're always welcome to come back on the Empowerment Zone anytime you like. So thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure having you.
Thank you for having me.
A special thank you to the incredible team of the Empowerment Zone. Terry Ungully, theme song. NADWORKS, digital support. And of course, our featured guest.
If you enjoyed my podcast, please subscribe. We are on all of your favorite podcast platforms. Be sure to rate us on Apple Podcasts too. Thank you for your continued support.